Thank you, Pastor, for filling in for Dell. Dell always starts it off with a bang and gives me words of encouragement, like, don't mess it up. Everybody's watching you. Be careful. Watch your words. You know. So anyway, he'll be back. Shabbat shalom, everyone.
Shabbat shalom.
Last week, the Torah portion told us that a census was taken of all the Levite males from 1 month of age all the way up, and the total was somewhere near 22,000 people. This week's parasha, which is named Naso, another census is taken of the three Levite clans that were responsible for taking down, transporting, and reassembling the tabernacle in the wilderness. What a job. I can't believe that they did that, but just imagine taking down a building much, much larger than this building and carrying the pieces and materials and all the implements inside quite a distance away, maybe from here to Marysville or maybe even from here to Sacramento, and putting it back together again over and over and over again. The Levite crew consisted of about 8,580 men between 30 and 50 years old. The clans doing the work were the Kohath, that's 2,750 men approximately, Gershon, 2,630 men, and the Merari, 3,200 men. Adonai told Moses and Aaron to take the census. Do you think that he had them take it because he didn't know how many people there were in the clans of the tabernacle workers? No, not really. He knew, but he probably wanted Moses and Aaron to know. Leaders need this kind of information. You know, I've hired Caleb to do some work for me and for some other people. If they had a bunch of Calebs, they probably would have only needed about half that many people. He's quite a worker. The other clan of the Levites was the Kohanim. They were the descendants of Levi's great-grandson, Aaron. They were the ones who performed the sacrifices and the other rituals on behalf of all of Israel. Only the Kohanim were allowed to perform avodah, or priestly service. They camped together on the east side of the Mishkan. In Numbers 6:23 through 27, the Lord gives the commandments for Aaron and his clan to bless the people of Israel, and it is referred to as the priestly blessing. It goes like this: May the Lord bless you and keep you, and make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. The following verse, number 27, reads, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. This was not a prayer, really, but it was a proclamation upon every single person in the congregation. Because we who believe are also the children of Abraham, this proclamation applies to us. We're told in Galatians 3:29, and if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Amen.
Therefore, this blessing was given to that congregation of Jews, and it's also given to us. Pastor Sam reminds us each week with the Aaronic blessing. We go out of each Shabbat blessed by the Lord. Chapter 7 of Numbers is the second longest chapter in the Bible. Excuse me. Psalm 119 is the longest. Psalm 119 urges us to stay in and study God's word. It tells us all about the benefits and the blessings of God's word. But chapter 7 of Numbers tells us to be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. God doesn't want us to just listen to or read his word. He wants us to take action and live the word, practice what we preach, so to speak. I really learn something every time I read and study for the parasha. He's not just hinting about being doers. James 1:22 says it. but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Thank you for that one, Lord. The Levites were very busy. Their job was a hard one. To help them with the transportation of tabernacle materials, they were given 12 oxen and 6 wagons. The leaders of the 12 tribes gave the oxen and wagons as a gift to the Levites. To divide these items, you would have thought this to be a no-brainer. 2 wagons and 4 oxen to each of the 3 clans, right? Not right. The Gershonites were given 2 wagons and 4 oxen. So far, so good. But the next group, the Merari, were given 4 wagons and 8 oxen, leaving none for the Kohathites. Pity the poor Kohathites, and they might have felt that life wasn't fair right about then. God teaches us, just like he taught the Kohathites, that when we have him, that is all we need. After dividing the carts and the oxen between the Levite clans, chapter 7 tells of all the many offerings that other tribes presented, and it goes on for verse after verse after verse of all the animals, bulls, plates, platters, money, silver, gold, and other items and implements that were given. Seems like it got a lot of giving, but it wasn't really a huge sacrifice. It takes a lot to run God's business. Plus, it already belongs to him anyway. He's providing everything we need. It's only right that we give back to him. Let's remember, when we have him, that's all we need. It reminds me of Isaiah wandering naked in the wilderness, eating and drinking what God provided for him, and of the old woman who gave the half shekel or whatever that was that she gave. She shared of all she had, and she knew that God would provide all she needed. Faith in him was all they needed, and it's all we need. God knows what's best for us. He has us where we are for his own good reasons. He's fair to us. He treats us all with his awesome love. When we have Jesus in our hearts, life is fair. Thank you, Father, for having us in your hands all the time. We appreciate the precious gift of life you have given us. And thank you for the ironic, not ironic, blessing you give us each week. Please also bless our loved ones. Amen. Shabbat Shalom.